You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The Bible says in verse number 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." You know, this business of being a pastor is serious with me. I'm to feed the church of God, because the church is not some careless institution. Brother Ray, so you'd agree with me, it's not a casual institution. Jesus gave his blood. We read it right there for the church. I don't believe in casual with God. I don't be casual on this platform, casual in preaching, casual in philosophy, casual in conviction. I believe it's too sacred. As many places you can be casual, taverns, coliseums, people can do whatever they want. But I tell you, when it comes to the house of God, this is sacred territory, ladies and gentlemen. And you also are sacred people. You're different than this world. God says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed, be different. The Bible says, "For this, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." That's why any pastor who's worth his salt is constantly watching for his children. Jill, is that you back there with your sister? Good to have you in church. Well, Leslie's sister tonight. I'm sorry I didn't acknowledge you. I see you right now. Not sparing the flock. I do not want our flock to be ravaged by hirelings. I want to protect the flock. I want to protect God's people. I want to protect your family. I want to protect the church. "Also of your own selves," here's the sad thing, "shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Our Father, tonight, as we continue in this series, a very important series, of just simply when a nation forgets God, there's always consequences. We are living in those consequences now. We've become so blasphemous, setting aside an entire month for blasphemy. Men with men burning in their lust, as Romans 1 says, and women burning in their lust, and coming from our White House, our house, through our Senate, through our House, through Supreme Court, through our judges, through our governors and mayors, lauding sin on every front. Lord, help us not to play at this thing. This is the only hope this nation has, is the New Testament local church. And I pray that we'd recognize that tonight as we're watching our nations reject a holy God. Bless our time together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take your Bibles, go to Judges 17. While you're going to Judges 17, let us review. This series began a week before Memorial Day, and it continues through next Sunday night up to July the 3rd. But we've seen, when a nation forgets God, we are in the book of Deuteronomy, the blessings of God is removed. We think we're having the blessings of God in the stock market. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see they're bumping, they're promoting millions and millions of dollars every month from federal government into the stock market. It's artificial, folks. We think it's great right now. It's artificial. You cannot continue there. They're telling us that within just a few years, we're going to be $50 trillion in debt. You can't make it with a nation. Why? The blessings of God have been removed. When a nation forgets God, the blessings are gone. And by the way, that affects your home and mine. We saw, secondly, when a nation forgets God, not only do they experience the lack of the blessings of God, but they experience the curse of God. The curse of God. whether God dries up the rivers or will not send the rain or he sends torrents and torrential rains. God sends the Bible tells, he sends the rain, the hail, the snow. Again, they came out this week and saying, okay, human beings, we are creating this great heat wave that's happening in America. They said, take Phoenix, for example. It's 111 degrees. It's supposed to be. It's the desert. These people are idiotic. I read on my phone 2 weeks ago, it said, huge heat wave affecting California and Arizona. 26 million people affected. The tour group was in Ontario, California. I thought, these poor kids are down there in Southern California. I looked, it was 78 degrees, I believe it said, high. My kids, where they live in Lake Forest in Southern California, the high was 72 that day. They're still in their June gloom. They have their gray May. You go to Disneyland, you go to LA, May is always gray. You go to Los Angeles, June is always gloom. They had no heat. Everywhere I looked, all of our family live in all these different zip codes. The place they said, under extreme, and our weather didn't even hit 80 degrees that day. Bunch of liars. I'm glad I got off on that. Curses begin. We found, thirdly, that pastor and people corrupt, like people, like priests. We find that judgment begins. Number four, we found that last week children pay the price in Jeremiah. Our children are going to pay the price. That grieves me to think that your children and your children will pay the price for the stupidity of my generation, the sin of my generation, giving you the hippie movement, giving you LSD, giving you marijuana, giving you draft dodgers, giving you rebellion in the streets, giving you vile living, men burning their lust with men and women with women, giving you abortion. We got married, you could not have an abortion. But now we decided we can go ahead and slaughter 65 million babies. You're not going to sweep that under the carpet, ladies and gentlemen. And tonight it's going to take me a long time to get to my message, my introduction. A short message. When I say long, it's not, but that's where the bulk of my time is. Tonight, the sixth consequence of when a nation forgets God, the sixth consequence is compromise invades. Compromise invades. And I'll tell you where this compromise bothers me is our churches. And you know, I've hammered that so much lately. When we're shutting our churches on Sunday night, we're turning our churches into little clubs, into social media places only. And there's not the cutting edge. There's not a leather lung preacher. And when there's a leather lung preacher, they always have to go and criticize them. Compromise is really when we allow ourselves to come in agreement with something which was once an opposing view. I now can move from this. I used to believe this, but now I believe this. That's what compromise is. The patriots in this country were never compromisers. They stood for what they believed. Amen. The old preachers did. Daddies in the home used to stand for something. It's to have a dishonorable agreement with another philosophy, a direction. Compromise is shameful concession. I give in. I'm tired of fighting. Friend, wherever you draw the line, that's where you're going to have to fight. 49 years ago, I gave to you 20 people that were here. Two more in the nursery, 22 people. I gave to you where we were going. I said, here's the Bible we're going to use. Here's the Sunday school, what we're going to have a Sunday school. Here's what we're going to do to reach the lost. Here's what we're doing with worldwide missions. Here's how we're going to dress. If you're a worker, not a member, but if you're a worker in this church, here's how we're going to dress, and here's how we're going to look, and here's how we're going to serve, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to tithe. This is what I believe. And I've been fighting that line for 49 years, so don't try to change it now. Because I believe it produces something. I've watched now Brother Oxenheim, Brother Evertson, the ranks are getting thinner and thinner to find Bible college students. Churches do not have youth groups. We always, outside of our group, would have five other youth groups. We always average five that would bring at least 100 plus to youth conference. Now we have about the same crowd. We have more churches now, but the largest crowd was 42 this year. From Washington State, 42. That place was packed. But why? I go to churches and there's no youth left. I went to a great church, a large church, one of America's big churches, and literally for a revival, no teenagers came. They had a Christian school, but they had all their activities and didn't come. I want to tell you something. Our churches are changing so fast. Watch it now. Our churches are changing so fast. And their kids are all going to secular institutions, are non-denominational institutions. They're not going to the ministry. And so what do? They come and grab our graduates. Our graduates will have places to go before first semester's over because they hire them. They're looking for, hey, I've sat 38 or 39 men sat right next to me that are now pastoring churches. Why? Because they can't find pastors. Your file is so thick right now. Church buildings paid for, money in the bank. We need a pastor, but we can't send them. Because let me tell you something, the average Bible, I know we've got great Bible college friends that are watching other college, they're not producing preachers. Yeah. What, you show me a church that changes their philosophy and direction. They're not sending them to Bible college. They're not sending them, ladies and gentlemen. This place is still coming. People are wanting to send the kids. We're up over enrollment over last year. We had 99% re-enrolled from last year, unless they graduated, of course. It's an amazing thing. Freshmen, sophomore, juniors, it's an amazing thing. They want to be here. They want to prepare. New students are coming from all over the nation. Wait a minute. But let me tell you something. I don't believe we have 5 years left because we can't find preachers. We can't produce them. This place cannot produce them fast enough. I could take a map of the United States and do this. Okay, I want to pastor a different church. Let me see. I put my finger right there, and that state, I guarantee it, there's an opening right now. I guarantee it, wherever my finger would land, there's an opening right now. This generation doesn't have to go. They talk about church planting. You don't have to go church plant. We got buildings waiting for you. They're empty, or they have few people. We had people watch this service today because they don't have a preacher. They're watching in buildings across America right now. No preacher, or no piano player, no pianist, no choir. I don't think you have 5 years left. I don't see it. There's a lot of things I don't know in life, but I have a pulse traveling this nation for almost 50 years, back and forth and back and forth. I've been traveling and preaching all over this place. We don't have them in our churches, ladies and gentlemen. They're not sending them Bible college, and these churches going this contemporary route do not even want to send them Bible college. Compromise is always revealed. One, I don't want to take a stand on anything. That's the day. We're so soft, wishy-washy. I don't want to offend anybody. Yeah, but with your position, you don't mind offending. Compromise reveals itself in corruption, in disregard for the word, disregard for heritage, disregard for preference. You see, and I've had to take a stand on this. People say, Brother Treeper, you cannot prove your convictions from the Bible. Well, first of all, I just don't use the Bible for what I believe. I do believe the Bible. But I also believe that my convictions are based on heritage, what's been deposited into my life through my grandparents, my parents, my pastor, my aunts and uncles. I believe in heritage. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I believe in heritage. I also believe in preference. My wife says to me, I want the house painted. I say, okay, what color? Bright pink. And I want two feet round circles in purple. Now, I'm not gonna die for this. That's not my, you say, well, is that your conviction not to paint it? Absolutely, because it's my preference. We're not gonna do that. You can have a preference and hold to it. Ah, bless God, it's not in the Bible. Okay. I believe in heritage. I believe in preference. I believe in conviction, yes. I believe in God's word, yes. But you cannot, prove to me. Oh, you prove to me you should go to the shopping mall. Give me a Bible verse. That helps some of you men with your wives, maybe. Give me a Bible verse. Give me a Bible verse you can go watch some sport team in a stadium. Give me a Bible verse on that. Well, I'm not going to give you a Bible. We just enjoy it. Give me a Bible verse that you can have a cell phone. Bible verse. I know you can give me a Bible verse for coffee. I know that. Just go to the book of Hebrews. You know, you can't give me, the Bible says wedding showers, baby showers, graduations, health insurance, driver's license. Apparently some of you don't have those. You can't give me a grocery store. It's even, if you want a Bible verse, go to a field and start getting your food. Somehow we've developed these young whippersnappers. Traitor, it's not in the Bible, then bless God. I don't believe that. So you're going to let your wife paint your house pink?
If she's in charge.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Just stuttering scares me right there. Just stuttering. Yeah, thank you, Mo. He had a birthday this week, and he's getting aged now, so it's a little hard, isn't it?
Biblical authority.
Yeah, there we go. Conviction is important. Heritage is important. Preference is important. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you to hold the door for a woman. But I'm going to hold the door for a woman.
Amen.
I want to be a gentleman. I want to show respect. There is something in the Bible about you stand when a woman comes in the room or when you go to a king's presence. That's in the Bible. You know, Satan uses many things. And I'll get to this text, but Satan uses doubt. Hath God said, he started in Genesis chapter 3, Pastor Everson. Genesis 3, hath God said. Putting doubt on the word of God. Satan will use doubt in your life. Is this that important? Well, look, this place is producing people for the Lord's work. I'm not being arrogant or proud. No, and thank God for all your churches. We'll have 50 to 60 kids plus in Bible college out of this church this year again. I don't say that braggadocious, but I say we're trying to train a generation to go serve God.
Amen.
He'll use doubt. He'll use drift to depart from a held position, like in the book of Acts. Also of your own selves, men shall arise, speaking perverse things. We'll start to drift on things. Watch drift. The things that you would not have done, that now you do. The way you used to behave, but you don't want that way. Well, the way you used to dress, but you don't want to dress that way now. This fall, I'm going to preach to you about dress one Wednesday night. I want you to understand why we're so narrow on something. But wait a minute. There ought to be people in this church all the time that don't dress like we dress. There's nothing. I had a man sat back over here, and he'd been coming and coming, got saved here, and his shaved head, and He had tattoos all over his head and all over his face and all over his neck and all over his body. And he said, I'm ashamed. Maybe I should not come here, Pastor. I said, are you kidding me? We want you here. We absolutely want you here. This is an honor to have you. He said, I'll try to get these things removed in time as I get money. I said, you don't worry about that. You're here. We're glad you're here. We don't try to sanitize and Christianize people. We try to just get them to the house of God. If everybody looks like they dot their I, cross their T, we're doing something wrong. But I will say, I take a strong stand because travel with me to the airport. Here's what you'll see. They're coming to the airplanes in pajamas. Pajamas! And grown men have got these little elementary school, what do you call these things? Slippers. I mean, little animals. Well, I guess male or whatever they are. Do you fellas want to go to the airport in your jammies? You know, you got your little bears on your feet. We got a claw in our hair. You know, that's how we do it. No makeup on. I believe in. There's appropriate things. I play baseball on Thursday. I believe I wear my jersey and all that. But I just believe in dignity. We're from, our roots are, our motherland was London. I mean, it used to have dignity over there. I don't want this to be, everything's casual, everything's slap happy and cool dude, man, you're looking, just, no, I don't want that. I want your kids to have a class about them. That went over well. Deception. I had time, I take it to Jeremiah 9, 1 through 5, where those people, Jeremiah said, you've been deceived. He'll use doubt, Satan will. He'll use drift. He'll use dividers, deception. He used dividers. People will come in, divide. Ye did run well. Who hath hindered thee? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched thee? Watch your friends. You will become like your friends. Find a friend as strong or stronger than you. Never weaker. He'll use disrespect. I won't take time to go on what I was going to go on that for the sake of time. We're still in the introduction. Don't worry, it won't be long now. He'll use discord. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination. And one, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Churches corrupt when they, and compromise invades when there's discord. Don't allow discord in our youth group, kids. Don't let discord on the deacons, with the deacons. Don't allow it in the staff. Don't allow it in this church. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, Jude says, it was needful for me to write and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered and deposited with the saints. We have to protect what has been. It's not the college that's been, the historic doctrines of the faith have not been deposited with the radio station, with the college. It's been deposited with the New Testament local church, God's people. Compromised, Lot compromised, and it ruined his life and ruined his family. The people of Moses, he was trying to lead them, and they compromised. They wandered for 40 years because of unbelief. Compromise always leads to carnality. Carnality always leads to corruption. And corruption always leads to destruction. I want this church to stand for years. I don't want it to be like that video I showed you a few weeks ago, still the buzz of Christians around the nation. They said, I watched that video about that great Akron Baptist Temple, Brother Treber, my temple. My heart just grieved as I saw how that place of 16,000 people has now been taken over and condemned. They compromised. We're in the book of Judges in chapter 17. In chapter 17, you find the key verse. Verse 6 is the key verse, and it ends the book this way of the entire book of Judges. In those days, there's no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, I don't like always having to draw a line and take a stand on everything, but I have to, because I want you to have something. I want you to have something of value. You have to fight for it. Parents, you have to fight not with your kids, but for your kids. You have to fight in this present generation to stand for right, and don't compromise and give in to your kids. Your children should not be leading you. You should be leading them. A child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. You have to lead your children. I must lead this church. So I get so nervous when I see hireling pastors come in and make contact with you and actually go visit you, local pastors, in your homes, telling you what great things God's doing in their church. Are you listening, preachers, in this area? Leave my sheep alone. You don't have to go visit my sheep. They're in the pasture that God has them. Don't be, hey, come over and visit our church. That I would never do that to you. That's what you call a hireling. I'll be checking how my members can help you out. That's merchandising these people of God. I know, preachers, are you listening to this area? Because I know you watch. You've already criticized some of the preaching at the youth conference, so I know you're really big boys here. I'm telling you, this flock, you don't touch them. You don't touch our kids. You don't touch this youth group here. They're in my sheepfold. I'm responsible for them. Back off, boys. Go get your own crowd. Well, that went over well. In Micah chapter 17, and there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. What was his name? Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest. In other words, mama's money got stolen and she was cursing. And spakest also in mine ears. I heard of it, mama. Mama, I heard about it. Behold, the silver is with me, mama. I took it. Stop, mother. What would you do? Your boy stole from you. He's an adult boy. He stole because he has children too. He stole money. He stole silver from you, mama. And you're in charge, mama, of this situation. And mama, he said, mama, I stole it. She's cursing everybody else. I stole it. I didn't steal. I took it. Look what she does. Bless it. His mother said, blessed be thou, the Lord, my son. Good boy, good boy. No, not good boy. Naughty boy, naughty boy. Spank, spank, spank. Yes, you did wrong. You're a thief. You're a robber. You stole from mama. Hey, we can't let these kids get away with nonsense. I'm not talking about you're against it. Can't breathe. Come on, back off a little bit. But my friend, when there's a violation like this, she's cursing everybody else. And then her boy said, I got it. Oh, good boy, good boy. So what's mama do? Mama, when he restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, watch this hypocrisy. You talk about compromise. I have wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Therefore, I'll restore it unto thee. She said, you know what, boy? We're going to make you a god. Compromise. Make you a god. Watch what he says. Yet he restored the money unto his mama, and his mama took the 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a founder who made a graven image. Wait, time out. Did not the word of God, thou shalt not have any graven image? And a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Why, Micah, would you bring that into your house? Draw a line in the sand, Micah, mama, no gods here. But now, wait a minute. Look what it says. Micah had a house of gods. Woo! Add this to my collection. If God's not the real deal and he doesn't work, I've got all these other gods. Mama made me this. He made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons. Watch this now. He consecrated a son to become a priest. That's out of order. Because a priest consecrates another to be a priest. You just don't randomly say, it's sort of like all these people nowadays that are going online. And you can become a pastor. Just go online, fill out the paperwork. You're a pastor. You can marry, you can bury, you can this, you can do that. It's kind of cool, man. You don't have to study. Just if you want to be a preacher, go ahead. I want to be the president of the United States. Maybe we ought to do that. Yeah. I don't want to be there. I'd not step down to that. Watch this, verse 7. There was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judea. By the way, that's a good place. Of the family of Judah. He was a Levite. Now, wait a minute. We have a priest. The priest takes care of the religious things. A Levite takes care of the physical property of the house of God. They carried the boards and the sockets and the blankets and all that they had to make the tabernacles, and they cared for the house of God and they took care of the doors. So they had two different functions. If you were a priest, you weren't a Levite. If you're a Levite, you weren't a priest. Levites were in the maintenance crew. They were in the construction crew. The priests were in the religious duty. And the Bible says that this guy was a Levite and a sojourner. In verse number 9, Micah said to him, "From whence come thou?" He said, "I'm a Levite of Bethlehem." See, he knew what he was. And I go sojourning, and that I might find a place. I'm looking for a place for a ministry. Church planning. I'm looking for a place. Micah said to him, "Dwell with me. Be unto me a father and a priest." I'll make you a priest, but I'm a Levite. That's okay. I will give you, follow the money, 10 shekels of silver by the year. I'll give you a suit of apparel. I'll give you victuals, food to eat. He's going to get clothing. He's going to get money. He's going to get victuals. So when the Levite went in, "Hey, this is awesome. I don't have to work anymore. I get clothes. I get travel expense. I get food. They got a place to live. Now I'm a priest. Man, this is cool. I'm a priest. I can boss people around. It's great. I don't have to carry those boards anymore. I'm in charge. Oh, this is great." And Micah said to him, "Dwell with me." So the Levite went in. Verse 11, "And the Levite was content to dwell with the man." Shame on you, Levite. The young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest. He was in his house. And Micah said, "Micah, now know that I, the Lord, will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to be my priest." This is awesome. I've hired my own priest, lives in my house. Got my own religious dude here. This is great. You see, all of that is what you call compromise. And when we come to the point where we begin to compromise, we start making decisions. "I know you're a Levite, but I'm going to make you a priest. And you don't answer to anybody but to me." We have violated and changed the Word of God. I have the article 1956. There was Christian Life magazine and Christianity Today. Billy Graham began Christianity Today in 1956. And he said the purpose was to be sound in our theology, but willingness to tolerate various opinions. That's compromise. But Christian Life magazine had this to say about liberalism, because modernism and liberalism invaded America. In the 1800s, you were not considered educated as a minister of the gospel unless you went to Germany and sat under German theologians. During the Age of Enlightenment, during rationalism, and rationalism became the theology of the day, where you can rationalize what the Bible says. Well, to me, it says this. I don't remember, one of you were telling me that you walked into a church one time on vacation and I'm thankful you're going to church, a Baptist church, and it was very small, and you sat down, and someone just told me this last week or so, and you sat down, and the preacher said, okay, we're looking at this text, and they went around the room, what do you believe it says? What do you believe it says? What do you believe it says? And they got to him and says, I have no opinion. You're supposed to be telling us. There are not many teachers, the Bible says. My wife and I went to church with our kids. They were little. And it wound up to be the same thing. And they were talking about a marriage relationship, man and woman. You understand what I'm talking about? Physical relationship, man and woman. And we were the youngest one there. All these old gray-headed people. We were in our 30s, maybe. I felt so uncomfortable. My wife said, I'm getting the kids out of here. She went out and played with them on the swings or something. I'm glad you did. I stayed in there. And they start describing a physical relationship, man and woman, at church in the auditorium around tables. That was church. You got to be kidding me. We have brought Christianity down to this level that now we're teaching education of how to have babies. A church ought to be a place to sing the praises of God and to pray together and preach the word of God and to call upon people and to come to Christ. The church is a hospital for saints and hospital for sinners. It's a place where we can get established in our Christian and grow, as he says in Acts 20, if we would have kept reading, but be rooted and grow in grace and build yourself up in the word of God. And so rationalism and liberalism and modernism said this in 1956, we believe that you cannot trust the inspiration of the scriptures. We reject this historic position. Inspiration is that this is God breathed, it's alive. Amen. If this is not a love letter from God to his people, if it's not alive, it's not real, how do you have church? Well, I believe this. Who cares what you believe? What's thus saith the Lord? Yep. Secondly, they said, we believe in tolerance. All views come from various religious communities. We need to learn to tolerate anybody. Oh, John the Baptist, you didn't get that message, did you? Jesus, you didn't get that because you called them vipers. You didn't get it, Jesus, did you? I'm not going to join kumbaya hands with people that don't believe a man and a woman is a union, not a man and a man. And in Santa Clara County, most churches believe, go look at the flags flying all over the place this month on churches. I'm not going to join hands with people that's blasphemy to God. That's blaspheming God. That's telling God he's stupid. He didn't create male and female, but he did. The third issue they had, we want a more tolerant view regarding eschatology, that is, the end times. Well, friend, the next event's the rapture. We want to increase awareness of scholarship. That's why accreditation is so powerful these days. We want to be smart. No, just preach God's word. Well, you fundamentalists are so, you Bible thumpers, you're so weak. Thank you. You don't have to be very smart to be the president of the United States. You have to be moral. You have to be God-fearing. We haven't seen somebody like that in that office in decades, almost my entire life. They said we have to be willing to converse with evangelicals and liberals theology. Why would you want to? That's what you call compromise. We have to see that our responsibility in a city is social justice. That's not the job of the church. We're to take the gospel to every nation. Amen. We don't need to have a seance, and we don't need to have a community involvement, how we can all get along with one another. I would imagine this morning in this auditorium, you saw 100 different nationalities in this church this morning. You're sitting next to one another. different countries, singing the praises of God. We didn't have to send you to therapy to learn to love one another. We live in a day where the desire is compromised. So that's why, and you know the whole big thing, Harold Akinjay came out in 1948 in Pasadena, California, and said, I've got a new term called new evangelical, new standard. And he began to list the things that he believed at Fuller Seminary. Well, new evangelicism has sort of died off, and it was replaced with a different compromise group, and then the millennials came in, and then the new church movements came in, the gurus came in, and now it's just whatever you want to do, you do it, and you're okay. It's just you answer to God. We answer to God, but we answer to God's people too. We answer to God for our city. And every city in America needs a church that preaches the word of God unashamedly. It's a lot easier if I wouldn't have to take a stand, but it's not right. People have to believe in something with authority. I think our country is longing for that in the highest office of the land. The presidency and the vice president, this congressman and the senators. I think we're longing for somebody to say, this is what I believe. Here's where I've drawn my line, and here's what I'm about. I don't want a politician. I want a leader. A stand for something. Heritage, stand for America. I want somebody that knows and understands. I read these politicians. They have no idea what separation of church and state means. They have no idea. Separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. The Danbury Baptists in Danbury, Connecticut, Brother Reimers, the Danbury Baptists were being opposed by their cities and their state, and the state came and invaded them, and the courts with Jefferson said there is a wall of separation. It wasn't keeping the church out of government. It was keeping government out of the church. Amen. That's what separation of church and state means. I was at a breakfast in Washington, D.C. with President Trump that was there, and I was sitting at a table with our congressman, Ro Khanna, and I had several senators at our table. And while we're sitting there, he said, I heard that word separation, church and state. I'm glad you're here, but we just got to keep churches at their place, and we got to keep, Mr. Khanna, you might be listening, God bless you, and churches in their place, and the government in their place, and sort of let us all do our own thing. I said, that's not what that means at all. And those senators all sort of perked up. Now, that's the separation of church and state simply means this. Historically, here's what I told them, and they said, wow. Mr. Trump got up to speak, and he's speaking. He said, that's why we need separation of church and state. And Ro turned to me. If he's watching right now, Ro Khanna turned to me and said, you just taught us that out loud. That's what it is. I think of how Akinjay said, we don't want negativism in our pulpits. You know, there are more thou shalt nots than thou shalt. God gave us 365 commands in the Bible because he commanded, this is what you're supposed to do, you can't do this. A desire to be scholarly, a desire to be influenced by worldly and secular institutions. Now, friend, tonight, when we begin to compromise and say, okay, you're a Levite, but we're going to make you a priest, and you're going to cave, and you're going to have your own gods, and God, the next chapter tells you more what happened. And he's out of a job in the next chapter, and Micah, the whole crowd falls apart. Why? Because a man did not draw a line in the sand and say, thus saith the Lord. This church has a great heritage ahead of us if you don't compromise. Don't let other churches define what we believe. Don't let another internet pastor define what you believe. Don't let your feelings define what you believe. Figure out from the Word of God. Come to the house of God. Learn what we're trying to accomplish here. And then call us for a pastor. Because that's where they're calling. They're calling here. I tell you why they're not calling these other places. They're not producing people of God for the ministry. I'm grateful for science and medicine and all these things. But that's why I only encourage you to go to a Baptist college. Because last time we checked, I'm Baptist. I'm not non-denominational around here. I don't want your kids going to non-denominational school and marrying some Methodist that believe that there might be male and male together, female and female together. A shepherd has to watch for the sheep. Oh, this one's going to be good on the internet, I can tell you right now. It's going to be a busy week for you. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for our church. I really didn't get where I was all wanting to go, but I guess I said enough. Help us to take a stand and not compromise. Music, Bible, philosophy, preference, convictions, heritage. God, help us to stand for what is right. Help us to know what we believe, how we're trying to raise these kids and train these kids and bring up these children, nurture in the admonition of the Lord. Our heads are bowed. I'd like to have you use the altar tonight. Pray for our church. We cannot cave. We cannot give in.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.